today as we come to the table.
The bottom line is, you were born with Adam's bloodline. Here's what the Bible says. Adam's bloodline was tainted with a disease we'll call sin for argument's sake. You inherited that. It's something you're born with. Imagine if your parents had something in their blood and then it passed on to the child and you're born. You didn't ask for it. You didn't do anything to get it. It simply was inherited and it came with the package deal. That's exactly what the Bible says everybody in this room got. Every one of us inherited a tainted bloodline, which means no matter how good we are, end quote, which we're really not as good as we think we are we? Even if we were perfect, you can't enter the kingdom of God because your sin is separating you from God.
There are a couple of diseases that get passed down just because someone in your family has them. In today's message, Pastor Mark says sin is a disease that has tainted our bloodline. Ever since Adam, we've been stained with sin and in need of a Savior. That's where Jesus comes in. He's the only one who can save. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you and humbled himself even though he knew it would hurt. He took all your sins to the cross and has given you new life in him. Because of this, you can walk freely knowing your sins are forgiven. Jesus made a way for you to have a relationship with the Father because of love. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 9, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open your Bibles to John chapter 9, because you always need your Bible. By the way, you know what? You need your Bible at church, and you ought to have a Bible with you in your car. I encourage you to do that. You know, I mean, again, you never know when God's going to give you an opportunity to share. And, you know, you may sit there at a red light, you can read for a minute and say, well, what if it turns green? They'll let you know. They'll let you know. So you just have a Bible with you, and you can just, anyway, I encourage you, seriously, I'm being silly, but seriously, have a Bible with you. You never know when you're going to need it, and a good chance to share, and somebody asks you a question. So a Bible's always a great thing to have. No warrior should ever go out to battle without a sword. So let's open up our sword to John chapter 9, as we continue on in the book of John, and we're looking at the Lord healing the man who is blind today from birth. Let's read it together. Verses 1 through 12, we'll read together, then we'll go back and look at it. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says this, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, well, this is he. And others said, well, he's like him. But he said, I'm he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received my sight. And then they said to him, well, where is he? And he said, I don't know. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're the one that opens eyes to receive sight. And quite literally, this man's eyes were opened and he received physical sight. But as this story goes on, Lord, and from what we're going to see today and next week, he's also going to receive spiritual sight and he's going to be following you, Lord, when it's all done. And Lord, I pray that today there may be some who are saying, hey, I need some physical healing. I need God to touch me. And I know you're a God that does that. But God, more importantly, we need to see spiritual healing. Eyes need to be open. And Lord, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no, nothing can open the eyes of a person but you. You have to open the eyes. And I pray that right now, for those of us that know you, you would open our eyes to understand your word and speak to our hearts what you want to say to us, because you're the one that brought us here. to specifically speak to us. You ordained this day, and you have us here for that reason. But God, you've also brought some here, no doubt, that don't know you. And you brought them here so their eyes could be opened and they could enter the kingdom. Or this may be their day where you're going to touch them and open their eyes. I pray, God, that when their eyes are open, that they would respond and not harden their heart. And so, God, I pray that by the time we leave here, not only will more people be getting baptized today, but I pray that more people will give their life to you today that can come join us in the baptism. Lord, what an exciting day that would be. So we pray you would now work in your spirit, Lord, pour out your spirit, and again, feed your people and draw those in, Lord, that you've called to yourself and are calling to yourself even today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know the term seeing is believing. We've used that probably since we were little. And you've heard me mention that before because that is something we hear on a regular basis today. But it's interesting when it comes to the Word of God, it is exactly the opposite. It is not seeing is believing, although God can do that. It is believing is seeing. And what that means is that God comes to us and God touches us and God draws us in and opens our eyes. But we have to believe and obey him before we can truly see who he is. And so that is what today's message is all about. That's what this passage is all about for this man who had his eyes open because his whole life he hadn't seen a thing because he was born blind. He literally had no eyesight. And until Jesus passed by and Jesus touched him and Jesus gave him the ability to see, he never would have been able to see, not only physically, but also spiritually. And again, there's such a truth in this for all of us that are in this room. That is, the Lord had to pass by, open our eyes, and give us an ability to see. And then once we see, note this, once we see, we have a choice to make. It's not just Jesus opening our eyes and then suddenly we are saved and we're going to heaven. He has to open our eyes and then he says to us, now you've got to believe in what I did for you on the cross. And if you believe what I did on the cross and you accept me as your Lord, then your sins are forgiven. Then you get to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is so crucial and so important because, again, so many people think that by being religious or doing the right thing or doing something good, they're going to go to heaven. Listen, I'm going to say something that may shock some of you, but I'm going to explain it right afterwards. And that is this. It is impossible for you to live a sinless life. But if someone in this room, by some miracle, was able to live a sinless life, you would still go to the judgment of God when you died and you would not enter the kingdom of God. Mark, what do you mean? I thought if I was good enough, I'd get in. Listen, if you are perfect, you will not get in the state you're in right now. Why? Because the Bible says back in the garden when Adam and Eve fell, Adam sinned, and every person born after him is born with his sinful bloodline already tainted. You see, everybody in this room is from Adam, every one of us. You say, I don't know you from Adam. Well, that may be true, but I know you came from Adam. That's what I do know, because the Bible says that Adam and Eve populated the entire earth. It began there, and here we are. So we're all related, and we all go back to Adam and Eve, which, by the way, DNA testing now proves it goes back to two people. That's a whole other scientific study that's pretty cool, but we know that without the science. The science is slowly catching up with the Bible. We know that. But the bottom line is that we can now scientifically show that we go back to two people here on the earth. The bottom line is you were born with Adam's bloodline. Here's what the Bible says. Adam's bloodline was tainted with a disease we'll call sin for argument's sake. You inherited that. It's something you're born with. Imagine if your parents had something in their blood and then it passed on to the child and you're born. You didn't ask for it. You didn't do anything to get it. It simply was inherited and it came with the package deal. That's exactly what the Bible says everybody in this room got. Every one of us inherited a tainted bloodline, which means no matter how good we are, end quote, which we're really not as good as we think we are we? Even if we were perfect, you can't enter the kingdom of God because your sin is separating you from God. And the only way your sin can be taken away is by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and confessing that sin, repenting of that sin, and letting him cleanse you and wash you clean. So God has set it up in such a way that all arguments are silenced. Nobody can stand before him and say, I really did good, and I just helped the teacher after class, or whatever argument we're going to make. He's going to say, your bloodline was tainted when you were born and you can't enter the kingdom. That's why he came to the earth to die. He came on a rescue mission to save us. And so this man here, when we see this physical man here today, unable to see physically, the Lord is going to lead that physical sight into spiritual sight. But there's an application to all of us in this before we even get started. And that is this, every single one of us, even as we're born in sin and we're born sinners, the Bible says, every one of us in this room is born blind. Now, wait a minute, Mark, I can see. Yes, I know you can see physically. I understand that. But God has given mankind two abilities of sight. One is physical sight, and the other is spiritual sight. When Adam was created, Adam had both. Eve had both. They could see physically and they could see spiritually. The Lord actually spoke with them back and forth. They walked in the garden with the Lord. On this earth, we would say, God made himself known to them in a very real way. And there was that connection. But when they sinned, they went dark on the spiritual side. That's when spiritual sight was lost. And even then, they had to be restored to God. An animal was sacrificed. And again, we see the picture of Christ being sacrificed for our sins today. But the bottom line is every one of us, the Bible says, not only born in sin, we're born blind. And the amazing thing and the shocking thing and the difficult thing about that is you don't know you're blind. Now, how many blind people do you know that don't know they're blind? Right? They're blind. They know it. They can't see. How many blind people are going to argue with you? Oh, yes, I can see. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. They know they can't see. Here's the hard thing about spiritual blindness. Everyone is born that way, but they don't know it. They think they can see because they can see physically. And here's what I thought, and here's what maybe some of you think today, and the believers in this room, you know what I'm talking about. You thought the same thing. This is all there is. I'm seeing everything there is to see. There is nothing more, and I'm a good person, and I might even go to church. You don't realize what you're not seeing until your eyes are open. And when this man's eyes are open, he's going to see a world he never knew even existed. Oh, he knew it existed, but he couldn't imagine what it really looked like. Some of you today, maybe you've heard about life with the Lord and knowing him and what that can be like and that personal relationship where you're interacting with him and he speaks to you and you speak back and how this works and all through prayer and the word of God, but you can't see it because you've never tasted it. It is very difficult for anyone to convince you of that. And I don't believe that I can stand up here and convince you of that as much as anyone else. Jesus has to open your eyes. And what I've been praying is that he'll do just that. If there's some of you that don't know him, he will supernaturally open your eyes. I remember when that happened. I'm not going to go back into my testimony. But suddenly my eyes were opened. I knew the word of God was true. But note this, there were two steps in me coming to the Lord. One, my eyes were opened. That is, the Lord touched me. And secondly, I had to obey. And when I obeyed and confessed my sins, salvation came. We're going to see today with this man, the Lord touches him, but he doesn't get healed immediately. He doesn't immediately see when the Lord touches his eyes, and the Lord did that on purpose. He has to first go and wash. He had to obey the Lord and do what the Lord told him to do. And for those who will not obey, there will not be salvation. Being cleansed of your sin, you have to take something on your part, and that is you've got to do what the Lord tells you to do, believe that he died for you on the cross, and then follow through with that. So there's a lot of things going on, physical and spiritual, in this passage today. And we'll see them as we work through here. So let's take up in chapter 9, again, verse 1. Remember the setting here. Most scholars believe they were still at the Feast of Tabernacles. It was right after the Feast of Tabernacles, rather. And so that's when all of the nation would gather together. Jesus was still staying there in Jerusalem, either there on the Mount of Olives or with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, which he would stay at a lot when he was there. But either way, he's there somewhere in that region around the temple in that area. And that's where we take up in verse 1. Crowds of people there because the tabernacle's just finishing. Not everyone even home yet by now at this point, most scholars believe. And it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now this is, again, it's interesting because why would the Holy Spirit point out here that he was blind from birth? We see some other healings of the Lord for blind men in the scripture, but this is the only one that mentions he was blind from birth. The others would indicate that they became blind later on in their life. Something happened that caused their blindness. And by the way, there was a disease in that region in that day that would cause blindness. And so, again, the fact that it points out this man was born blind, what the Holy Spirit is showing us is not just the fact that he was physically born blind, but he's making the point, he's going to show us that there's a spiritual blindness at birth as well. And this man's going to experience the sight of both of these faculties, the physical and the spiritual. But again, this is something that no one could say just happened or this kind of thing. No, the point I believe the Holy Spirit is making here, not just in the direct fact of this man being born blind, is the fact that, you know what, all of us are born blind. It's our true condition. We don't realize it, but the Lord sees it and the Lord knows it. And it's something that if he doesn't point out to us, we're not even aware of. And so again, my hope is that God is pointing out to some of you today that there's a spiritual blindness, that God needs to open your eyes if you're going to be able to see properly. And what's interesting about blindness, and again, I've never been blind, but I've been spiritually blind before I came to the Lord. And so being spiritually blind for the first 25 years of my life, not even knowing really I knew who he was, but not knowing Jesus on a personal level, here's what I didn't realize. I did not know what I was missing. I thought I had it all. This is it. This is all there is. And it wasn't until I came to the point where I said, is this all there is? Is this really it? And I was very dissatisfied if this was all there is. God used that to drive me to him. And then when my eyes were open, wow, there is so much more. There's a whole world to see in the spirit realm. The real world is the one that's in the spirit realm. And so when your eyes are opened, you don't even know what you're missing until they are open. But then once they are, it's just astounding, again, what you've been missing the entire time. Now, again here, this is the whole picture here of the Lord being the light of the world. What happens when light enters a dark world? Sight comes. Sight comes. The Lord's going to bring light into this man's blind world in two ways, physical and spiritual. And for some of you, hopefully the Lord is going to bring the spiritual light. No doubt he's working on your heart to do that, but are you going to obey him and allow him to do that? He's enlightening you right now, showing you that his word is true and showing you that he's here to speak to you, but you've got to respond to it. So understand this process that he works through with this man here that was born blind. He's doing the same thing with you. I love it. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And so the things he did then, he's doing now. The same being and person he was then, he is now. He loves you just as much, but he wants you to see your blindness and to be able to come to him. And notice his disciples asked him, this is a strange question to us. Notice what they said, verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, what do you mean, this man or his parents? Why would you accuse him or his parents of some type of sin? Because here was a teaching of the rabbis in that day. The rabbis taught in that day that if you sinned, or rather, if something was wrong with you, it was physically or any other way, it's because you had sin in your life. You ever heard that before? Guys, that teaching is still around today. There are those today that say that if you're blind, you've got some sin. Or if you can't walk or you're not getting healed, you've got some sin. Let me say this. There's no doubt that sometimes sin is connected to physical ailments. If I go out and get drunk and wreck my car and I can't walk, then sin caused me not to be able to walk. I acknowledge sometimes sin can have a direct reaction or a direct effect on my life. But to say that because someone has something wrong with them, that they have sin in their life, because the Bible does not teach that. It doesn't teach that at all. That's what they were teaching in that day, even as we hear that teaching today. And the Lord is going to rebuke that. In just a moment, he's going to say, that's not the case at all. But before we get to that, it's interesting here when he says this, because understand what they also believed in that day. They believed, again, if the parents were sinning, that the child could be born with a problem. Something could happen because mom and dad were doing this thing. But interestingly enough, they actually taught that the baby could sin in the womb. Now, think about that one for a minute. I wonder what they did. You know, you caused heartburn. Sinner. So now you need to, you know, it's time to repent. Time to repent because what can a baby do in the womb? That's how demented their teachings were. And yet they were teaching this. And so the disciples had grown up with this teaching from their rabbis in the temples and also like, Lord, there's a blind man over there. Lord, you know all things. Tell us, what did he do? Why is he blind? And I'm glad they asked that question because the Lord was able to silence that type of false teaching in verse 3. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. In other words, it had nothing to do with him sinning or his parents sinning as to why he was blind. Listen, why are people born blind today? A lot of people ask, and maybe you're one of them. Maybe you don't know the Lord. You're wondering, then why, if there's a God of love, why do all these bad things happen? Listen, the reason all these bad things happen is because Adam sinned in the garden, and the Bible says when man sinned against God, guess what happened? The earth was cursed. Man was cursed, and death and sorrow and disease entered the world. So the reason you see children starving all over the world or people with diseases and people weren't blind and crippled, it's not because God doesn't love them. It's because we sinned as mankind and brought sin and the consequences of sin into this world, and now we're living with it. He came to rescue us from it. Sometimes he rescues us prior to that by healing us. Sometimes we won't be healed till we're in heaven. But he's made a way to the kingdom so he can rescue mankind from the mess that we have made. We can't blame God for that. And so we have to understand when we see these things happen, it's because of the fall. But what's interesting is it's not just because of the fall in this instance. God also ordained this so that he could get glory from it. Notice what the Lord said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, God's going to use this to show his glory. How many times do we have something wrong with us and we blame God? God, if you love me. God, how could you let this happen? And God's saying, I let this happen because I'm going to glorify my name through it if you will let me. What's your response going to be? Are you going to give me glory? Are you going to trust me? Or are you going to just complain about it? See, we have to check our heart. God allows these things oftentimes so that he might get glory. And in this case, God allowed this man to remain in his blindness so that he might bring glory to God. Why? Because he knew there would be all these crowds. He knew it would be in Jerusalem. He knew he could show his power. He knew he could confront the religious false teaching of the day, which he already did here, and he's about to confront more in just a moment. But the bottom line is, he did it for his glory. And so we're going to see that Jesus is going to use this not only for his glory to show his power and his creative power and recreative power, but the Lord is also going to do this to correct false teachings that were around him and these rabbis and all these people. I love this about the Lord because he wasn't afraid of anybody. He wasn't intimidated by the robes. He wasn't intimidated by the doctor or the reverend or the sir or the most holy. None of those things. He wasn't moved by that. He's like, that doesn't move me. Are you teaching my people the truth of God's word? Are you humbling yourself and loving them? That's what pleases God. And so God was actually, the Lord was actually very angry with these religious leaders because they represented him wrong and they were teaching false teachings and laying burdens on the people and all their man-made religion. So he's dealing with that. He says, this man, nobody sinned. That's a false teaching. And notice what he said, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, this is interesting. He's saying, you know what? There's a time when work for God can be done. There's going to be a day when that's going to be finished. This should be very sobering for all of us in here. On the first level, let me say this. For mankind, there's a limited amount of time we can be a witness for God. There's going to come a day when time's up. That's it. The buzzer goes off, the game's over, the thing bounces or whatever on the game, and you hit the button, and it's over. You've lost your round or whatever. And we're standing before God, and it's time to, whatever we do with Jesus Christ is what we're going to do. There it is for eternity in the kingdom of God. But even more sobering for us, guys, on a personal level, we've got a short amount of time. Mankind has a limited amount of time. But in that realm of mankind with a limited amount of time, we have a much smaller amount of time. However long the Lord gives us, that's what we have. Are we using it? What are you doing with your time? Again, this is not to make you feel guilty. This is not about works. You know, anybody can do that and tell you how bad you are and you're not serving the Lord enough. You know, if you beat sheep, they don't get any stronger. They get weaker. If you feed them, they get stronger. But we also need to be encouraged, don't we? There's not that much time left to go. We need to be about the Father's business. You know, maybe it happened to you sooner if you're as old as I am. I might say that because when I say that, some of you go, well, you're young because you're only in your 50s. And the people 18 saying, I can't believe you're still alive. You're in your 50s, right? So it depends on which side of the spectrum you're coming from. But something happened when I crossed over into my 50s. I began to realize my time's very limited. Up until that point, I still felt like I've got forever. This is going to last a long time. Suddenly I'm realizing, no, this is going really fast. And I'm watching every year just kind of scream by. I look at the pictures, and then I don't want to look at the pictures, right? Because as they're screaming by, I go by and I scream, when I see it. Because I see what's happening, right? The bottom line is we need to take the time we have left. Mark, I've wasted my whole life. I'm already really old. Are you still alive today? I hope so. If not, it's going to be awkward when the service is over, right? You go get them. I'm not going to get them, right? But the bottom line is, guys, if you're still alive, you can still be used for God's glory. Even people bedridden can continue to pray for the people coming in that room and share the gospel and continue to pray for those around them. Let's use the time because when it runs out, that's it. There's no witnessing in heaven. This is our chance to be a witness for Christ. This is our chance to serve the Lord. You know, even if you're not witnessing, you can serve. Be doing something for the kingdom. And so he says, I have to do God's work while it's still day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're working our way through John, and there's more to gain from this book in God's Word. Before becoming a disciple of Jesus, John had been a simple fisherman. He and his brother were just trying to make a living in a way that seemed reasonable in that time and place. But God gave him a different calling, and it forever changed his life. What about you? What is it that you're doing and that God's called you to? Maybe it's different than what you expected or anticipated, but our hope is that through John's writings, you're coming to a realization of what God's doing in your life as well. Come to the Table is a ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, come join us. We'd love to meet you and hear what God's doing in your life. Service times can be found at our website, thewaymedia.net. Just look for the Calvary Knoxville tab. If you can't make it in person, join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app, which you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. If you have questions about the teaching you heard today, you can call us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all the time we have for today, but we pray that you found this teaching to be a blessing. We look forward to you joining us for another edition right here in the Book of John. So don't miss the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.